This morning I'd like to read from Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 28th verse. A couple of weeks ago, we had our back-to-school bash, the anointing of the backpacks we had with Brother Carney. The week before that, I started a series about my burden is light. You know, a lot of us, as we walk with God, we read this scripture, Matthew 11, 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest into your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." That's what his word says, but for some of us, we've walked into this room today and it doesn't feel as light as that says it is. It doesn't feel as light as what we feel like it's supposed to be. The joy, the love, the peace, the fruit that we're supposed to feel, that's supposed to be a part of our lives. Sometimes it's just, it feels like a spirit of heaviness. We talked about Wednesday night trading that spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise, that there's something about that heaviness. There's something about it that it just doesn't seem like a burden that is light and a yoke that is easy. I want to say thank you to all of our guests that are here this morning. We're honored to have you with us. Thank you so much for worshiping with us at Moss Bluff. You may be seated this morning. This morning, I want to talk just about God's been dealing with me that last night and this morning, and I knew this service was going to be a little bit different this morning. And a lot of us, we feel that heaviness, that burden. And what I want to talk about just for a few minutes today, I'm not going to take a long time this morning, but the curse of a burden without love. The curse of a burden without love. You see, a lot of us, we know that we need to live for God. We know that we need to be in a relationship with God. We know that this is what God wants us to do. But the problem is the heaviness that comes with it, the things that we carry, the things that we walk with, the things that we deal with on our jobs, with our family, with our children, just life in general. There can be a heaviness to life that comes with it. If we're not careful, we'll carry this heaviness, we'll take ownership of this heaviness, and we'll allow this heaviness to be a part of who we are, and we equate it to our relationship with God. There are things that we carry that we should not carry. There are burdens that we allow to be a part of our lives that God never intended for them to be a part of our lives. It's in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. It says, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." That he came so that we might be saved. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Paul makes this statement, "Of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I have obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern unto them which therefore it says, which hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Everybody say life everlasting. "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only wise God, be honor and glory forever. Amen." Be honor and glory forever. Amen. Paul fully understood that the only reason that he was there was because that there was an almighty, awesome God that showed mercy. When Paul found God, we find him on the road to Damascus as he was on his way to kill Christians. He was on his way to take the lives of people that believed in him. So he finds himself blinded on the side of the road, crying out, "Who art thou, Lord, and what wilt thou have me to do?" At that moment in time, Jesus speaks out of the cloud and lets him know that I am Jesus, that I'm the one that you have kicked against the prick, that I'm the one that you've been fighting against. And it was at that moment in time that he made up his mind that he was going to live for God. He made up his mind that this is what I was going to do. He didn't understand the Holy Ghost. He didn't understand water baptism. He didn't understand Jesus Christ. He didn't fully understand everything that was going on, but because of the experience that he had that day. There was something inside that longed to know him, that longed to know him. There was something about it that he desired to be in the presence of an almighty, awesome God. But as we walk with God, we see his new converts, they come in, they're excited. They're excited about what God is doing. They've been delivered. They've had things taken out of their life. God's doing supernatural things in them and through them. There's a new life and a life that is more abundant. And it's exciting to see what God does in a new life that is giving themselves completely over to God. But if we're not careful, sometimes it's easier to backslide than it is to upslide. It's easier for us to back up from God than it is for us to move towards God, because in order for me to move away from God, I don't have to do anything. In order for me to slide away from him, it just takes apathy. It just takes being satisfied with where I am. It just takes being comfortable with what's going on in my life. But if I'm going to move towards him, I'm going to have to position myself in a way that I can get into his presence. I'm going to have to make up my mind that I'm not satisfied with where I am. I understand where I've come from. See, that's one thing that Paul never did. He never forgot where God brought him from, but he never wanted to go back to that place. He understood, I'm not going to forget where I came from, because I want to make sure I never go back to that place. He said, I was a sinner and I was the chief of them. I'm fully aware that I am saved by grace, and I don't deserve anything that I have received. It's in 2 Corinthians 11 and 22. It says, are they Hebrew? This is Paul speaking unto the Corinthian church. He says, are they Hebrew? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in deaths often. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice shipwrecked. Suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I had been in the deep. It says, in the journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and in thirst, in fasting often, in cold and in nakedness. And besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Two things could have happened in Paul's life at this moment in time. It's sometimes when we begin to look at our lives and we begin to go through the things that we have possibly gone through for the kingdom, he could have gotten weary in well-doing. He could have gotten frustrated. He could have gotten exhausted with what was going on in his life and everything that was happening. The wounds and the scars that he'd received, the things that he would look at in the mirror as he would be getting ready in the morning, that the scars that were upon his body from the whips, the stones that were smashed into his collarbone, that things probably didn't look the way they were supposed to look with his body. At that moment in time, he could look at it and he could get bitter. He could get frustrated with the circumstances that he had gone through. Or either he could look at them and wear them as badges of honor and say, look what I've gone through. Look what God wants to do. My ministry is more complete than your ministry. The things that I've gone through puts me at an upper echelon of what's going on in my life. That I've been through some stuff and I've seen some things, so that elevates me to a higher place than everybody else. See, we live in a world that is highly competitive. We live in a world that everything is competitive. It's just people that if you're going to at work, it's competitive. If you're going to make it on your job, it's competitive. If you're going to make it in school, it's competitive. Just to get into college can be competitive. Just to get into classes in high school can be competitive. If you play any kind of sports, it's competitive. It doesn't take much just to bring a bunch of us old guys out to the golf course, and the competitive juices get to flowing, and people start talking trash, and they want to be the winner. When I was the youth president in Texaco, they would take us to this place that had a bumper car basketball, and it was amazing because old guys could still play basketball in bumper cars. And so we would slam each other into the walls, and they had these little things, and you'd throw them, and there's something about it. You get a bunch of guys together and you hand them keys to a bumper car and a ball, that something begins, the juices begin to flow. Somebody's going home with a crick in their neck. You better keep your hands off the floor, because you're going to lose one, because we've come to win, and that's just the way that it is. But in this competitive nature, we bring this into our walk with God. We feel like in order to be accepted by Him, that I have to be running on all cylinders. In order for me to make it, I've got to be amazing. I've got to be unbelievable. I've got to be better than what's going on around me. That there's something about it. Several weeks ago, we talked about comparing each other. That Peter struggled with comparing. That even after Jesus told him that I'm going to use you, that feed my sheep, he looked at John and said, what are you going to do with him? We see him as he was always concerned about what everybody thought about him. As even when he was at Cornelius's house and great miracles, signs, and wonders were happening. When James showed up, the pastor in Jerusalem, and said, this is not of God. He was more concerned about what somebody thought about him than the will of God in his life. And he struggled with what God was doing in his life. He constantly struggled with comparing himself, even though he was bold and brash, even though we see him with a sword and trying to chop heads off. We find this man as he is weak, and he would go back and forth because the opinions of others. And so we walk through life with this burden of worrying about what else is going on around us. And God says, my burden is light, but we're too busy looking from side to side, and we say, but it doesn't feel light. It doesn't feel right. I hear of joy and I hear of peace, but what I'm carrying doesn't feel like joy and it doesn't feel like peace. It's because we pick up things that are not ours. They don't have our name on them, that we were never expected to carry them. They are not what we are supposed to be doing. And we take on this ownership, this competitive nature, even in our walk with God. If I don't pray enough when I come to church, I can't even worship. If I don't live just perfectly throughout the week, and then I show up to church, that it's condemnation, and that there's no possible way that God loves me, that there's no possible way that God wants to do anything in my life. And God's saying, what are you talking about? I love you. You're my child. I died for you. I bled for you. You've got to understand that it doesn't matter what's happened through the week. When you walk through those doors, you have not changed the way that God loves and feels about you. We read in Luke 10 as Jesus turns to the 72. These 72 were men and women that were not picked to be the 12. They were the bunch that was possibly left over. They were not the elite of the elite. And he gives them a commission. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them 72 and two by two before the face unto every city and place wherewith he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, nor salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be into this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, ye shall turn and do again, and the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not into a house. He's sitting here telling him all these. I want you to go out. I want you to talk to them. And then he says, I want you to heal the sick therein. I want you to preach to them. I want you to tell them that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. That's the song that we sang today. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. We skip down to the 17th verse, and it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He said unto them, be held. He says, and there they said, even they're subject unto thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then he says this, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that your spirits are subject unto you, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather because your name is written in heaven. You see, so many times we get caught up in what we can and cannot do, how we can and cannot pray, what we can and cannot. And you say, well, are you trying to water? No, I'm not trying to water anything down. But God's been dealing with me. There are people that you walk into the house of God and there is a struggle. There is something that it's, you don't feel worthy. You don't feel like God wants to do something supernatural in your life. You don't feel like that God wants to do something in you and through you. That they're better. They've got more going on. They've prayed more. They've got a better heritage. They've got a better lifestyle. They look the part more. And there's just no possible way that God would want to do anything in my life. But what we've got to understand is, even when they came back and said, look what we've done, Jesus said, you don't understand. I'm not interested in what you've done. I want you to understand what you need to be glorying in is that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. What you need to be glorying in is that if you took your last breath at this last moment, your next step would be on streets of gold. Don't worry about what you can and you can't do. Be worried about what I'm doing in your life. Be worried about what's going on in my world and what I desire. And it's Philippians 4:3 that he says, and the others, he says, the fellow laborers whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. It's Hebrews 12:23. It says, the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. See, we've got to understand the importance of our relationship with God. We're not all going to be the same. We're not all going to add up. You can't put us all on the same grade test level. It's his test. It's his level. We're all called to be different parts of the body and to do different things. And so what we've got to understand is God has called each and every one of us to run our own race. I'm not in competition with any of y'all. And y'all aren't in competition with me. I'm not running against Tanner, and Tanner's not running against Antoine, and Antoine's not running against Ryan, and Ryan's not running against Brother Tim. We're all running our own race. We've all got our own plan. We've all got what it is that God is trying to do in our lives. The problem is we have begun to try to make an impact without intimacy. We try to make an impact without intimacy. That's why we feel so much condemnation. We try to work for God without God. We try to work in God under our own strength. See, we've got to understand that if I try to do this all by myself, I've learned a lot in the last 4 years. You try to make one step by yourself, you're going to get your brains beat out. When I try to do it by myself, when I allow flesh to raise up and I allow flesh to try to take care of it, I can rest assured that flesh raises up flesh. And that's all that it's going to do. That there's something about it that we've got to understand, that we walk by faith and not by sight. That I can't afford to be looking for impact without intimacy, because if there is no intimacy with my God, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall flat on my face. I can't make it all by myself. We've got to have a relationship with Him. We've got to understand that when we walk into this place, we can't carry all of the junk. It's got to be all about Him. God, I've got to give it to You. God, there's some things I've got to place on an altar. God, there's some things that I've carried into this place that I don't want to carry anymore. God, I've tried to make this step on my own. I've tried to do this all by myself. And we begin to allow the things of this earth to weigh heavy upon us. We allow the things that are going on around us to begin to weigh us down. There's a man by the name of Greg Mortensen. Greg Mortensen was a philanthropist. He was an outdoorsman. He traveled. He climbed mountains all over the world. And he decided that in 1993 he was going to climb the world's second tallest mountain, K2, in Pakistan. As he made this journey, found out that he wasn't going to make it up after several tries. And on his way down, they got turned around and he was lost. And he ended up in a tribal village there on the side of that mountain. He was exhausted and he was dying, and the people took care of him. And in that moment in time, he gained compassion for that tribe of people. And so he made up his mind that he was going to bring education to those people. He made up his mind that he was going to help those people and that he was going to use his influence to be able to impact the education of that part of the world. So he began to start schools. He was one of the first people to begin to start schools strictly for women in Pakistan, which was highly frowned upon. He began to use his influence to create avenues for people to be educated. He began to start more schools. He wrote a book that was called Three Cups of Tea. It spent 220 weeks on the New York Times bestseller. He rewrote the book for children, and that book sat on as New York Times bestseller for 97 weeks. He kept doing good. He was captured by the Taliban, and for weeks he wrote how that he was captured by the Taliban and that how that they had kept him and the things that were imposed upon him during that time. He upped his growth, his exposure. The people would, his speaking funds begin to grow. And he talked of the schools that he started. He talked of the things that had happened, the books that he'd written, the stories that were in the books. But something happened as a reporter began to see things that didn't line up in Greg's life. And he began to examine Greg's life. He began to go to the places where he claimed to have schools and they were run down and destroyed. He began to go to the places where he had been captured and they had no sign of him, that in fact that being captured by the Taliban was just a story. But the pressure of trying to be better and to grow, the pressure of climbing that ladder, the pressure to be better, the pressure to have something more to say, the pressure to have the next big story caused him to make things bigger than what they really were, caused him to tell stories that really didn't happen, caused him to create things that really weren't there, and it all came crashing down at one moment's time. We've got to understand that we are not in competition with anybody but ourselves. We've got to wake up every day and make up our minds, and I know I say it over and over again, but we've got to make up our minds. Today I'm outrunning the old man. Today I'm going to run further and faster. Today I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to live for God one more time. I wonder how many times Paul had to go back to that place of his conversion. That place in Acts 9 and 10 where Ananias is called by God to go to Damascus. This man named Ananias that had no desire to be around Paul, he understood exactly who Paul was. This man is a murderer. This man is, he even tells God that he's not interested in going to where Paul is, but God tells him, I've already told him that you're going. God trusted Ananias. It's an amazing story all by itself that God asked Ananias to go after he already told Paul that he was coming. And when he begins to talk to him in verse 15, God says unto Ananias, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. He is a chosen vessel unto me. See, there's one thing that we've got to understand in this place today, that it doesn't matter what you did this last week, does not change how God feels about you. It doesn't matter if you miss days in prayer. Are you saying that that's okay? No. I think the closer we get to him, the more we should want to know him. But there are people that you walk through these doors defeated before you ever get here because you don't feel like your life adds up to where it's supposed to be. That there were high water marks in your life at days and times that you were better than you are right now. And until you get back to that place, you are just defeated and nothing. You've got to understand that there are ebbs and flows in every church and in every life, and it's not always going to be riding high, and it's not always going to be low, but one thing you've got to understand, that when you walk into his presence, he loves you. One thing that you've got to understand, that when you walk into the house of God, it doesn't matter if you're on a high or you're on a low, he loves you. Quit living with condemnation. Quit allowing that stuff to weigh down on your shoulders. My burden is light. And we said, I don't know about that. I don't feel like it is. I'm not there. I'm not as good as so and so. I'm not where the other one is. I'm not running the same speed as everybody else is running. All you can do is run the speed that you can run. All that you can do is make up your mind, I'm getting up one more day. And if this is all I've got, then this is all that I've got. There are some days you might feel defeated, but when you get up, it's a victory. Just by getting up and saying, God, I'm living for you one more day. There are people in this room that you walked into this place today, and it's a victory that you're even here. Because when you got up this morning, you let the devil know, hey, devil, guess what? I don't have to go to church, but I'm making up my mind that I am going to church this morning. There's some people in this room that you are so frustrated that there's so much going on that you look at others and you see that, man, they cast out devils. When we talk about the 70 that went out, I imagine they looked at each other and they compared. I imagine some of them, when they showed back up, they hey, this is what we did. What have the disciples been doing? Those other 12 bums you picked that we know about, what have they been doing? Did you see what I've been doing? Let me tell you what I did in your name. Let me tell you what God's doing in my life. Let me tell you how I was used. And Jesus turns and looks at them and says, hey, you're worried about the wrong thing. Hey, I'm glad you're being used of me. I'm glad you're stepping out and blind eyes are being opened. I'm glad the devils are being cast out. I'm glad that people are being healed. That's what it's about. That's what we talked about Wednesday night. He said, that's what I've come for. He said, but you, the most important thing in your life is that you need to rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. There are people in this room that you've walked in with your head down and your shoulders stooped. But one thing that you need to understand this morning, you may not be running as fast as you once did, but if you took your last breath in the next 3 minutes, you would step from this place into glory. You need to quit looking about everything that's not quite right in your life and understand, I am a child of the King. I am baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. I have been filled full of the Holy Ghost. Am I running on all cylinders? No. Is everything exactly where I want it to be right now at this moment? No. But God says, hey, I want you to celebrate anyhow. I want you to keep celebrating. I want you to celebrate it, because if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Some of us, we don't even believe that we would make it. We don't believe that God's good enough or awesome enough. We think he's just waiting to bust me. He's just waiting for that moment to expose everything. Ooh, look, yeah, there it is. Yeah, yep, oh, oh, look at that. Ooh, yeah. He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. That little lady's laying there on the ground, men with stones in their hands ready to stone her. And Jesus asked her, where are your accusers? Tears running down her face, waiting for that stone to fly. She looks around. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. To me, you know what the most awesome story about Zacchaeus is? Zacchaeus is a thief. He's a liar. He'll take your money. Nobody in town liked him. He didn't care about anybody else. He didn't care about anybody's future. He didn't care how you were going to pay the bills. He didn't care what was going on. He only cared about himself. And Jesus is walking through Jericho, and there is something inside of Zacchaeus that wants to get close to Jesus. And he climbs up on that limb out where he can see him. He's small in stature, and he gets out where he can look over the crowd and see him. And the beautiful part of the story is that when Jesus shows up to where he is, he looks up on that limb and he calls him by name. He doesn't turn to somebody in the crowd and be like, "Who's that guy up there? Oh, that's the one that..." No. He already knew who he was before he got there. The first time that you ever walked into the presence of an almighty, awesome God, he knew who you were before you ever walked through that door. He knew who you were before you were ever born into this world. He knew who you were before you ever made up your mind that you were going to live for him or serve him. And you think that he loved you more then than he loves you now. Quit believing the lies of the enemy. Quit carrying that burden with you. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But we believe that because we've been in this a little while and we haven't just straightened out and flew higher, we've had better days than we're having right now, that it's somehow it's changed what God wants to do in our life, or it's changed how he feels about us. And God says, "You don't understand. Glory in the fact that you're saved. Glory in the fact I'm not worried about what you can and can't do at this moment. I'm worried about the fact that if that trumpet sounded or you took your last breath, you'd step out on streets of gold this afternoon." There's some people in this room, you've got to understand, quit listening to the lies of the devil. There are people in this room that you are ready to make that next step, and you are scared to death, and God's saying, "You don't understand. Glory in the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life." He wasn't talking to perfect people. He was talking to people that had showed up, that were trying to outdo each other. They weren't perfect. And he looked at them and he said, "You need the glory that your name's written in the Lamb's book of life." Quit worrying about where you've been in the past or where you're at. Oh yeah, do we need to change? Of course. If we're low, let's get back up. Whatever. But don't you keep allowing the enemy to beat you down and cause you to believe that God still doesn't have anything for you because you're not where you were at one time in the past. All that means is God's given me another opportunity to run with the horses. He's given me another opportunity to pick myself back up. He's given me another opportunity. Has his plans changed? No. Has his love changed? No. Has his purpose changed? No. You think because he knew your name the first time you walked in that he doesn't still know your name? There are some of you, you've got to understand that you might be struggling this morning, but you're better off today than you were that day when you walked in. He accepted you on that day, and he still loves you today. He filled you full of his spirit on that day, and he still wanted to do something in your life today. He said, "I love you, and I'll take you just the way that you are that day." And today, he's still saying, "You know what? I still love you. I still want to help you. I still want to take you from where you are to higher places. I still want to do something special in your life. I want to help you with this burden. I want to help you run this race." Lay aside every weight and sin that would so easily beset us. We run this race with condemnation. We run this race with so much weight, and we wonder why we don't feel joy and peace and love, and all we think about is where we've come from. Oh, don't forget where you've come from, but it's not who you are. Oh, you are more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. I might have been an alcoholic in the past, and oh, those devils might show back up in my life from time to time, but guess what? I'm victorious. That's not who I am. That's not going to mark who I am. That's not going to determine who I'm going to be. Oh, my marriage has struggled in the past. Oh, and there are times that it's not what I want it to be, but I'm not going to allow the enemy to keep beating me down, dragging me through the mud, and taking away years of my life. No, no, we're not even competitive with others. We even get competitive with ourselves. Well, that's not where I was. I can do better. That's all good. We need to. We got to do better. I want to be better tomorrow than I am today. But there's got to be some. We got to understand it's a process. It's a marathon. It's not a 20-yard dash. It's a marathon. I got to get back up. I got to keep running. I got to keep making up my mind. Devil, I'm not carrying this with me. Oh, I might have struggled with that last week, but I'm leaving it here. I'm not carrying that with me. It's not the will of God for me to live this way. It's not the will of God for me to have these things. It's not the will of God for me to run this race this way. Stop comparing yourself to everybody else. Stop competing. You just run. There are people in this room that you can get on a motorcycle. There's something about that place, that space, that there's just peace. You get in the truck and head towards the Dearleys. It's like you got everything out of the way, all the cobwebs out, and everything's making sense. Maybe you're headed to that pedicure. It doesn't just have to be at special moments that you feel at peace in your life. It doesn't just have to be at moments when it seems like the stars have all aligned that you can feel a little bit of joy, that you can breathe. Stop competing. Stop looking around and see. Run your race. Focus on your relationship with Him. Focus on your relationship with Him. Because if you'll make that relationship right, it'll make everything else right. If you'll work on that relationship, if you'll fall in love with Him, then the other stuff becomes easy. But as long as we're trying to do the other stuff without Him, we're trying to carry all of this. We're trying to drag all this to church. We're trying to drag all this through life, drag it all to work. We're real good about picking everything up, but we are terrible about putting things down. We're good about picking up other people's problems and other people's dramas and other people's things. But somewhere along the way, God, you didn't call me to carry all of this stuff. In fact, you died for a bunch of this junk. In fact, you bled for a lot of this stuff. And I keep reading about that there's something that says that your burden is light. And evidently, I'm not doing this right because I feel like it's heavy. My relationship with you is hard and it's a struggle. So there's got to be some things in my life that I can change. There's got to be some things in my life that aren't where they're supposed to be. There's got to be some things in my life that I can do differently because you've called me to run this race. You've called me to be victorious. You've called me to walk on streets of gold. You've called me to sit down at the table and eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So I'm going to quit focusing on carrying all of this junk and I'm going to start giving it to you. I'm going to start releasing some things in my life. I'm going to start looking from side to side and comparing and competing with everything that is around me, and I'm going to run my race with you. There's some people you need to go home this afternoon and you need to look in the mirror and you need to say, I'm the child of the King. And if I died today, I would see the King. And you don't need to let the devil say, oh, you're not perfect. Quit listening to all that mess. You're trying. You're getting up every day and you're making up your mind to live for God. You showed up at church on a Sunday morning when everybody else made up their mind not to. You're giving it your best shot. Get up and give it another shot. Quit worrying about what everybody else says. Quit worrying about what everybody else is doing. Hey, some of you need to start living victorious. You need to start getting your head back and your shoulders back and say, you know what? I'm a child of the King. and one day I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I'm a child of the King, and one day he's going to look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm not as bad as the devil says that I am. Hey, I'm giving it my best shot. I'm trying. I showed up this morning. I'm going to be better tomorrow than I am today. Oh, Brother Pugh, are you saying we get this? No. If that's what you get out of all of this, no. But quit listening to the lies. Quit believing all of the noise. Quit listening to all of the junk. My own mind tells me that you don't love me. My own mind. I war against my own mind. I think things and I believe things that aren't true. God, I'm not listening to all of the junk in my mind anymore. I'm not listening to what the enemy says. I'm not listening to what others might have labeled me as. God, I'm going to live for you. I am going to walk on streets of I am going to be the man, the father, the Christian that you've called me to be, the wife, the mother. I am. Lord, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, we know truth, and we know what's right and wrong. We know what it takes. And so therefore, God, when we know that we're not running on all cylinders, God, it's easy for us to judge ourselves. It's easy for us to look at ourselves as failures and weak and that we're never going to make it. But God, I want to thank you today, God, that you're speaking into hearts and minds this morning, that even though we may not be running on all cylinders at this right moment right now, even though that life has thrown us curveballs, even though that we're struggling, even though that there's been better moments and times in our life, that we've been better places with you than we are right now, you still love us. Oh, you're not finished with us. Oh, I feel the peace of God that's moving into this place right now. There's some people just let him love you right here. Right now, quit listening to all the lies, quit listening to the junk, quit carrying the stuff. He loves you. It hadn't all fallen apart, it's not all over. You're not at ground zero. No, just get back up. It didn't all finish, it ain't just like you've gone back to the beginning. No, just get back up. He still loves you. Wants you to feel that peace and that love. He wants you to be able to run this race with joy. He never expected it to be this big of a struggle. I'm going to lay it down in Jesus' name. As we all stand this morning, as they begin to sing. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, he knew his name then, and he still knows it now. He knew your name then, and he still knows it this morning. It hasn't changed how he feels about you. It hasn't changed what he wants to do in your life. Allowing the enemy to remind you of your low points and your weak places and everything that's not right. Oh, if God convicts you of it, if God's challenged you, let him challenge you, let him take you to another place. But don't listen to the enemy. Don't let the enemy drag you through the mud. Don't come into this place defeated for no reason. If I'm going to be beat up and defeated, let it be for a real reason, not because of something that the enemy has lied to me about. Let it be for a real reason. If I'm going to be filled with shame, let it be for a real reason. breaks every yoke. These altars are open this morning. Is there anybody in this room that would like to come to an altar and say, God, I want to give it to you. God, I've allowed the enemy to get me down. I've been listening to lies. I've been listening to what the world is saying about me. I've got an identity crisis going on in my life right now. Room, you need to come to an altar. You need to lift your hands and say, devil, you're a liar. I am going to walk on streets of gold one day. I am going to make it. I am going to be saved. I am going to be what God wants me to be. I'm not listening to the lies. I'm not dragging this junk through life with me. I'm not carrying my yesterdays with me, but I'm going to leave them at an altar. Leave them here today. I'm going to walk into the restaurant this afternoon with a smile. Oh, I'm going to walk into the restaurant today with my head back and a smile on my face. Why? Because I'm saved.